What's up, everybody? I'm not very professional, so forgive me. But I do take serious what I am doing, though. I fear God. I know that's you can't use that term in today's philosophical Christian world, but I fear God. It's not a bad thing. I'm not walking around worried, like I don't have a false fear. No, I'm not bound by the other people's perception of a mean, insecure God. You know, no. I have a biblical fear of God, and it's a reverence, it's a respect, it's something way beyond scared. It has nothing to do with scared. The English word probably don't even do it justice when we say fear. But that's what we have. So, but it's this crazy, a whole nother energy of reverent awe. And he has my best interest at hand. You know what I'm saying? It's not like this, oh, he's going to whip me because he has to flex. He don't have to do that. Like, he's God. He's the creator. Religion has taught you that. Because religion can set, you can sell religion if you can somehow convince the people that God's mad at them. Then they got to come to you, and you can peddle that all day long. It's a big business. I mean, church, it's a market. I want to tell you. Okay, so first, before we get started here, I asked Brother Daniel, did I get permission from you? Is it okay to show this video? I'm sorry. So Brother Daniel has a video. Some of you know what I do in Mexico. So before we get started, I work in Mexico. That's where I do the majority of, like, that's where home is. That's where I make disciples. That's where home is. And so you're gonna see a little bit of what that looks like, and then we'll talk from there. Like he said, I've been there for like 23 years, and then we'll go from there. That's us hiking all day to visit. I could tell you so many crazy stories about these places. Got to walk 5 hours in the mountains. That's where we're going to start and go visit that church. We're going to visit a murderer. Sometimes we go on horseback. That was more for the kid than anything else. Of course, that's baptizing. That's my wife with the sisters. Walking to church. There's no electricity in this place, so that's a lights from the phone. So, and the fire of God there. Making disciples, just going with, let's go together and do it together. That's what it looks like. That's Bible school. Just normal people. That's a baptism, and people are getting born again before they get before others get baptized. Them are missionaries. Them are my children walking to church. They're a lot bigger than that now. That's me picking oranges. That's me taking my son on like a 3-day hike in the mountains. That's us worshiping God in a little apartment surrounded by 20 villages where there's no gospel. Yeah, that's what discipleship looks like too. Yeah, I'm showing you my family so you can see that's your first church, really. That's communion too sometimes. All those mountains behind you, they need Jesus. Now these people got a building. They built it themselves, and I've helped whatever I could. That was 3 days out in the mountains just visiting villages with no gospel. That was fresh corn from their crop. So we sat there and ate elotes together. I think y'all call it Mexican street corn. That's the bridge that goes over the river behind my house. So when that was when my kids were really little, and so that's the church bus. That's me in a prison right now with the cartel members. That was a couple days ago, about a couple weeks ago. That's hot food. Spicy. Really spicy. So that's my son Samuel. Now he's older. That's an island out in the Gulf of Mexico. We're eating fish right there. That's mi familia. And that's what I believe in. Grassroots mission. Okay, so, yeah. So, let me go to my notes. So, yes, Brother Allen kind of was saying that that's, you know, it's not very traditional, not very religious to be able to read my Bible off my phone. But I will tell you, I have lots of book Bibles. But I will tell you that when you have to hike to church, this serves. I have multiple languages. I have probably 500 Bibles on this. So I have an Indian Nahuatl Aztec Bible that they speak, a Spanish Bible, English Bible on here. It's a flashlight. This, you can put notes on there. You can, all kinds of things. So it just works better for me. I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, I'm not anti-book Bibles by no means. I give them out every day. Okay, so I'm for sure not against them. But sorry about that, Brother Ricardo. All right. I do believe today is special. It's the day that the Lord has made. Today is not going to be an expository teaching. Do y'all even know what that, y'all know what that means? That's not what Brother Allen did when he was a Baptist pastor. And so it depends on how good you are at that, the pay scale the church are going to get you. You know what I'm saying? So, and there's a place for that. I love it. You know, and that's kind of one thing I want to bring the light to you, because me personally, my first influence of the gospel was from a Baptist pastor from Highway Baptist down in North Little Rock. Then I got born again. Here at the Assembly of God Church here in Cabot. And then, but I never became, per se, a Assembly of God. And then, I mean, I wasn't like raised in church. I went, you know, here and there. But as soon as I got born again, I mean, basically 3 months later, I went to Bible school or school of ministry. And then from there, I went to Mexico. So I never really grew up in traditional church. So I didn't have any money in the beginning because I didn't have any connections. That's kind of how it works. People know what you do. They want to support what you do. But if you don't know them, then that don't happen. So it wasn't that. So I just didn't know people, right? So one of the first people that let me come to their church was Brother Allen over here across the highway. I think it was White Dove or something like that. I can't remember, but that seems very insignificant to most. But when you're out there trying to do ministry and you're on the mission field and you have nothing to do it with, and you're trying to give your life to something, the first people that show interest in helping doing that, they're a big deal in your life. And that's what Allen is to me, Brother Allen. And then to watch him evolve also and not be the traditional Christian pastor, to watch him not be overbearing and trying to be this control dude, it's been a blessing in my life, because that's how I live. That's how I believe the body of Christ is supposed to be. And I've never seen Brother Allen have this dynamic about him of us and them. I've never seen that. And that's a blessing to me, because most pastors, they've just grown up this way. So don't hear me in a negative, this is not a negative tone, but kind of the way the people come up in the church game, the church system is, they learn the ropes and they start climbing the ladder, right? But for a lot of people, it's a career. and it's job security. And when you have it that approach, you're a hireling kind of. That's what the Bible says. And when you approach it like that, it's really hard to raise sons and daughters. Because you're kind of always scared that they'll take your place. Which that's the whole goal. As a real father and mother, you're never raising your children, oh man, I hope they're always dependent on me. Who does that? The end game, the end goal is God bless them even early as you can, where they will be able to stand on their own, be strong, functional people so they can help do that for others. Fruitful people, right? And that's what Jesus said. He says, you didn't choose me, guys. I chose you. And I chose you with a purpose. I chose you so that you would bear fruit and fruit that would last. That's the purpose of God. First purpose of God is, he says, we have the ministry of reconciliation. So the first purpose of God for our life is to be reunited with God through Jesus Christ. Because of our sin, we were separated. You know the whole gospel. And now, okay, first is to be back with God in communion with him, not in church. So never hear me wrong right now. I am not talking about a Christianity. I am not talking about church. I am talking about a relationship with God. I'm not against church. I do church probably more than anyone in here. I have 50 churches that I'm responsible for. Not against church. But we are the church. And it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to come together and celebrate Jesus together and grow and learn and be exhorted and corrected and grow, okay? But I really, like I say, one of the reasons, I'm really blessed to be here because I've never seen that dynamic with Brother Allen, like the us and them. Because that is what happens a lot of times. And there's a lot of misinformation. Like the other morning, day before yesterday, I was sitting in the living room with two widows in Little Rock off Colonel Glenn Road. One was a widow of a Baptist pastor, and one was a widow of a Assembly of God pastor. They happened to be like these, extended family members, and we met together. And it was so beautiful that those elderly women were just in love with Jesus still. And there was no denominational or this divide. And it was the most beautiful thing. And I'm telling you, but what I'm saying is the misinformation, it's like, you know, even so this morning. Of course, Brother Allen don't know who I'm talking about. You know, I was listening to this little clip with John Piper, and he was basically talking about how these Armenian people that had influenced his life. And it was just cool because he's a pretty staunch Calvinist, but it was cool for him to just be transparent and honest about how Wesley and all those guys had influenced his life. And it was beautiful, you know? Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I have been with lots of people lately. I mean, I'm always with a lot of people. But recently, in the last couple days, I have been with some people that are in this recovery program. Just being honest, open, and they were sharing with me their struggle. They want to serve God. They want to be with God. But their struggle with the theme of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit today. About who is Jesus. And basically, after talking to this fella, I understood and came to the conclusion through him, but that kind of made me think about everybody. Most people's idea or understanding or misconception of who Jesus is, it doesn't come from Jesus. It basically comes from everybody else's faulty misconceptions. And I'll be honest with you, if I was presented that, I don't want that either. Because I'm telling you, man. You know, I was just in Central Asia, and I was in Dubai, and this is the thing. Everywhere I go, everybody says, man, it's hard here. Americans are the first ones, man, it's hard here. I'm just going to tell you, everybody says it. And yes, when Jesus is talking about the young rich ruler, after that conversation, he looks at the disciples and says, yes, it's impossible for men. But with God, it's not. And I'm going to tell you, it's not hard with God. And I'm not talking about outreach. I'm talking about his kingdom. He wants to build his kingdom through normal people. The celebrity Christianity thing, it's pretty much went full circle. It's pretty much over with. Mega church stuff, that's kind of, it went its course. And this stuff's always just going in a circle, basically. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, God wants to use just normal people. God don't need celebrities. He wants faithful sons and daughters of God. Because he does his work. And I'm going to tell you, in all the churches that are gathering today, right now, in this Cabot, Jacksonville, Lone Oak, Searcy area, the people that are going to church, them are God's people. You understand that? We're not here to sell a brand. We're not here to anything else. These are God's people. Jesus is the King. And all these places that are congregating, they're just families. That's how it should be. So this one morning I was in Dubai. I went to the to get a coffee. And I was there during Ramadan. That's the fast day. That's the fast for the Muslims. And there was a lady there, a lady from Uganda. She was working at the coffee thing. And so I knew that everybody was fasting. I said, are you a Muslim? And she said, yeah, I'm a Muslim. You know, my dad, my mother's a Muslim. And I said, so you're fasting? She said, yeah, I'm fasting. Today's our last day. I said, cool. And so I'm pouring sugar in my coffee. She had already served me the coffee. And I'm, you know, got the little packets pouring. And I said, I fast too. And she's looking at me because I'm pouring sugar in my coffee like, well, okay. I said, yeah, but I fast probably for a different reason. She said, what do you mean? I says, and her English was, you know, broken. But I said, yeah, I fast to know Jesus more. Oh, really? Who's that? Well, I said, you know, that's Allah's son. And he died for you. And I started telling her how my life was changed. And you could see this on her face, like, because she is in her religious duty at that moment, being really faithful. But you could, when I started talking to her about how the gospel, we've been so Christianized, the majority of Christians don't even know what the gospel is. Do you understand the gospel is the power and the salvation? The good news? The gospel, the revelation. It's not a teaching. It's not an apologetics. It's not the way you can present something. No, I'm talking about the revelation of who God has created you for, who he is, his plan, and how he sees you and loves you. That revelation. When you come to that revelation, it says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Because see, that's what Peter did. Jesus says, who do they say I am? Well, this, that. Okay, now I need to know personally, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? And Peter says this confession. He says this thing. And we know immediately it wasn't Peter's idea. Jesus tells him, you didn't come up with that, Peter. You didn't learn that fishing. Flesh and blood don't understand this stuff. My daddy, my father, God in heaven, revealed this to you just now. Now, he let you speak it because that's what he does. He lets me and you speak the secrets of the kingdom of God. And we're ambassadors. And it's a big job. But we do it as sons and daughters, not like employees. And because of this revelation, Jesus makes the great statement, in which is so misinterpreted, this is why I'm going to build my kingdom. I build my kingdom on this thing right here. This revelation, this understanding. When people get this understanding, revelation, then they can be born again. They can be new creatures in Christ. They're not only forgiven and pardoned, the righteousness of God is imputed on them, in them. They're not only forgiven, now they are beings, godly beings, that are sons and daughters, that are a representation of a kingdom that is not of this world. The gospel. The gospel is not some boring message. The gospel is the power and the salvation. And it's a revelation. And how is it communicated? It's through me and you. Through our life, through our responses, our reactions, people watching that, through the testimony. It says, you know, go to Jerusalem. Y'all go to Jerusalem and wait. This Holy Spirit's going to come on you. For what? So you can be a superstar charismatic? So you can show off your gifts? So you can find your identity inside of your gifts? Nah. Your identity is a son and daughter of God. And because you're a son and daughter of God, the Holy Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. And now, because the rest of the world is broken, dying, and needy of Him, this Holy Spirit flows through you supernaturally, get the attention to confirm the gospel you're preaching and living. There's a purpose for the power of God. There's a purpose for the Spirit. And it's to be a witness to Jesus Christ. And I say all that stuff because I deal with a lot of students. Like here in a couple of weeks, we will be hosting Harvest School, Miss Heidi's Bible School. I was in the upper room in Dallas a few months ago with their students, in IHOP with their. So I'm always dealing with kind of these students that are kind of like in the popular places. And when they come out of these places, a lot of times they're wanting to do something for God, but what do we do now? But a lot of times, when I'm watching them, I know that they're at the forefront, and that's kind of what all of Christians are watching on YouTube and this, that, and the other. So I know that Christians are trying to find their identity through some type of faddish movement in the Christian world right now. And I'm telling you, this thing is way deeper than that. You need a revelation. And that's my prayer for you today. That you would be able to see yourself how God sees you. Because see, then it becomes easier in the sense of, can I do it or not? It doesn't become easier in the sense of you're going to have to still carry a cross. But you have the grace to carry the cross. You see what I'm saying? The cross is still the cross. You still die to you. But you're in love with God and you love people. And you have a supernatural grace to be able, you know, if I told you of some of the physical aspects of where I live and what I do, say, right now you just saw a highlight reel, you know, for 2 minutes. Oh, it looks cool. But if you were there in the grind of the years and the sweating and no air conditioner and da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff, you would say, man, I will send money to you because you called there. We ain't, you know. But the reality is, I have the grace to do it. Because I'm called to people. And I guess that's what I want somehow, some way in you, that to come alive. Because the only reason basically that we don't share we're not doers of the word is because we don't feel like it's necessary. But it's just an essential. When you know, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second. Hold on, I need a drink. Oh, I didn't tell you about the girl. Okay. So the girl's like, yeah, well, who is this? You know, you could see a relief on her face when I'm sitting here talking to this Uganda Muslim, right? And she's like, and at the end of it, this wasn't, you know, I wasn't out witnessing. I went to get a coffee. But I can tell you a story almost every single day. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because you can't tell me that I'm special to give yourself an excuse. No, we're not. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Spending time in a secret place with God, just because you want to know Him, just because you want to be with Him, and then filling yourself with the Word of God because you want to know Him, not necessarily to preach, because you want to know Him, and then being available, that's the key. Truly, truly, in your heart, are you available to people? Because, see, God wants to do it way more than even you want to do it. That's who He is. And when those things are lined up, God does it Himself. And He uses all of us in so many different ways because we're all different people. And it's not wrong that we try to encourage our churches to do these outreaches and this, that, and the other, because when no one's doing anything, it's a good thing to just help them trying to get doing something. I understand that. But at some point, you need to know that it's God's heart. Because, see, when you're in the secret place with God, He shares His burden with you. He shares His love with you. He lets you feel the pain that those people feel, the lostness that they feel. And see, then it's not about, well, I can't speak very good, or I don't know enough of the Bible, or da-da-da-da-da, all the stuff that tries to bombard our mind. See, the devil does, the devil would love if y'all just stayed here, went to church, and never did anything else. But you go start messing with His kingdom, there's a problem. You see what I'm saying? He's okay more with a few just saying, have their little ticket. Oh, I got my salvation. I'm going to heaven. It's good. Forget about the rest of the world. No. He's okay with that. But you go out and start taking this salt and light out there, giving them hope, debunking them lies and deceptions that He puts out there, then there's a problem. And so I'm telling this girl, you know, about my life, and she says, man, I really need to know Him. I need that. And so get her contact, you know, WhatsApp, and talking to her, sending her Bible verses in Luganda, and Casey's, my wife's, talking to her. And then, you know, here in a minute, we'll connect her to someone there in Dubai. I'm just telling you that the harvest is ripe. Never, ever believe that, oh, America, we're in the Bible Belt, Cabot's full of churches. People, no, man. People want authentic sons and daughters of God. And so, let me look at my notes for a second, Brother Adam. Okay, so what I'm seeing all over the world, kind of, and mainly right now in the churches, is there's this battle. It's always been there. It ain't never not been there. That's why when we have the Gospel of John and the epistles of John, John really goes out of his way to express to you that Jesus is God. And that's a hard thing for for so many people, right? But I'll just read one verse with you, and then we'll talk about that. Because you can say that also. How is Jesus God? You know, there's only one God. You know, that. Okay, I get that. John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. So, and there's so many other verses that you could talk about. He is God. Don't be confused. Right now, like, there's people confused, you know, the Trinity or oneness, huh? You know, like three in one and three. Dude, He's real. You don't have to understand it all. He's bigger than your mind. He doesn't ask you to have to understand it. It's childlike faith. So I'm with this young man the other day, and he's having a struggle with this the Jesus thing because he's been through all the other ways. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how much you understand this, but right now the New Age, I guess we could call it a spirit. The New Age culture isn't bombarded. Because I'm going to tell you, me and you are built to have God. And when you don't have God, when a human being doesn't have God, they're trying to look for a way to fill that void to have peace. And there's a lot of things that are counterfeits that are offered right now. And even a lot of the charismatic church dabble a lot in some of that junk. And the reformers and the Baptists dabble in some other junk. But I'm going to tell you that there's a genuine desire and need in all people to want to be okay with God. And they know there's something beyond just this flesh and blood. And so many people, like I said, there's so many counterfeits that there's like, well, yeah, but why, God's God, and why did he need to do this with Jesus? Why did it have to be a sacrifice, a lamb, And I understand, philosophically, it don't make sense. And that's what, Paul said that, right? Paul's talking to the Corinth people in Corinth, and which always went to Athens with all the big dogs, the philosophers of the day, and it was foolishness to them. Dude, this is crazy. The Greek gods would never do that. Coming down a cross? Nah. And then the Jews, it was a stumbling block, right? And that is the mystery of the gospel. You don't have to understand it. Because this is beyond, that's what I'm saying, it's beyond you. The Holy Spirit knows how to reveal things to people. So don't be intimidated by trying to explain it all. That's one of the biggest problems here. It's the intimidation, the social intimidation, your educational intimidation. But what if I can't explain about the Council of Nicaea? What if I can't explain about the creation? What if I can't explain my eschatology? Don't worry about it. Jesus told the disciples, when you're brought before those people, don't worry. The Holy Spirit is going to bring this stuff up that needs to be said. Because you know what? It's not about you. That's what the main thing, if you can get this right now. I am a thug, saved thug, redeemed thug from North Little Rock that was just lost and served myself, a devil. But surrendered my heart to God and he made me new. And I'm always in process. We have not arrived. It's okay. He's not surprised by that. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows your mental capacity. He knows everything about you. And he's saying, yes, give that to me. Well, how do you give that to him? Come and lay it on the altar? Well, that might be the first step. But the main way you give that to him is give it to other people. You know it's very humid outside right now, right? I mean, not in here, but I mean, I was running this morning. I was sweating a lot. That's why I'm drinking. So I rolled a lot of stuff down this morning. So when I was in Central Asia just now, I was in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan, and so all of the stands came together because it was like a conference of their leaders, right? And so there's like 0.0002 Christians in them, the former Soviet Union, no? And so they're basically all Muslims. And they all came together, these Christian leaders came together, and we were in this conference. And it was really cool to see the Baptists and the Pentecostal guys all coming together because they had no choice. I thought it was cool. And I told them, I says, yeah, well, y'all is getting persecuted and you kind of, you know, I say, you see, you need each other, you know? And it was cool just to be able to look over all that stuff because, you know, all of them had gotten the gospel from different avenues, you know? But they were working together for the kingdom. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus told the disciples, which I believe he told us, go into all the world and make disciples. We overcomplicate that a lot of times. You know, we got to have a discipleship program and this, that, and the other. And this is what I'm trying to talk about being available. Be a friend. You ain't necessarily got to try to sell them your church. Be salt and light. And don't try to be like another someone else. You know, that it looks. So let's think. Because the other day when I was in this women's retreat center, one of the ladies was like, well, I know these truths you're talking about, but how do I stay in these truths? Like, I believe it when I hear it, but then I don't believe it. You know, and that's a big problem for a lot of Christians. When they come to church, the pastor encourages them in these spiritual truths. They're encouraged at that moment. But then what happens? They go out into the world. They go back to work, get back. And it's just nonstop. The brokenness of this world, the gravity of life, just the natural circumstances of a sinful world convinces them otherwise. And she was like, but how, like, so she was looking at me like, man, you really believe what you're saying. And I do. And she said, but how do I do that? And I'm going to give you a little key. This is going to sound very practical, because it is. Because see, the Christian, the devil wants you to believe that you're not good enough. And it's only for special people. And see, for so long, religion has played on that. You know, just that communion over there, right? I don't know how much y'all understand of your church history. You know how many people died over that communion? You know how many reformers that told the Catholic Church, well, we don't actually believe that is the body of Jesus. We don't believe that that's actually the blood of Jesus. He's not dying again. They were killed. They were murdered. Oh, we want the Bible to be translated in English so everybody can have the Word of God. No, only certain people can know the Scriptures. They're the only ones that are equipped enough to interpret it. No, everybody needs the Word of God. No, murdered. So you see what I'm saying? So religion has played so long on trying to create this, you're not good enough, and these are the special people. Okay, that's not the gospel. But we live in that residual, that subconscious. We live still in that system, though, whether you want to believe it or not. Well, what do you mean by that? Because when the headliners do what they do, not even that they're evil in it at all, but when they do that, you still feel like you can't. So where are the disciple makers? Where are the fathers and mothers taking them hand by hand and going and doing it with them? It was sad to me. You know, the lady, one of the older ladies that was with me, or I was with the other morning, she was like, you know, these new pastors. You know, the older people feel comfortable with me because I work with Indians. So I look like this pastor from 100 years ago, you know. I don't look like the new pastors, which because I see personally a place for everybody to work. There's just so much to do. Like if I were a retired person, like some of you are, dude, you know what I would do? Man, I'd go print off of like a business type card, write a verse on it, put my number on it, and I'd just say, right, I'd just be passing stuff out, telling people about Jesus. Oh, you got to go to Walmart? I'm good. Here. I'd be bugging people. You need prayer? Or something? I don't know what I'd do. I mean, hey, you need prayer? Here's my number. Anyway. But, so I just think everybody has there's so much to do in the kingdom of God. This morning, I'm prepared for church. Dude, I was running out on your parks, running 3 miles, and it took 5 or 10 minutes to talk to a Haitian guy. Y'all realize that there's a Haitian living here that speaks Creole and French? And another Hispanic fella from Laredo, like where all the cartels are fighting? Like that was just 10 minutes of just, I was fishing a little bit, you know? I wasn't out doing outreach. I wasn't doing evangelism. It was just being salt and light. And you don't know what those seeds. And you say, "Oh, did they pray with the prayer with you?" No, they don't have to. There were seeds sown. That's God's business. Man, where was I going with that, brother? Oh, okay, yes. I was in that women's retreat, and one of the ladies was like, "Well, how do I know? How do I keep knowing?" And this, oh yeah, now it plays all into what I'm saying. Okay, so because this religious system was set up, and we're kind of all feeling the effects of it, and you know, there's a bunch of manipulation in it, control, da da da, because like you know, and that's why everybody's in deconstruction. That's the popular thing to be doing right now. De-churching, deconstruction, whatever. Because you know why? Why? You know why? Because you're tired of the old. Is that a Jesus problem? No. Is it a God problem? No. Don't get that twisted. Jesus ain't part of all that. Are we supposed to be mad at the church? No. That either. But because we've grown up in religion, you were taught that your lifeline to God was through church. Because if you can stay dependent on me, then you'll keep giving up tithes and offerings, and then you know it all goes good. That's not how families work. So because of that, there's 90% of Christians are not satisfied. They're told, I don't know how it goes in church, but I would imagine some of the essentials when you come in, you pray to get born again, you feel that you go get baptized, I'd imagine. And Brother Allen, you can correct me. I'm not talking about this church per se. I'm just talking about Christianity. Get baptized. First of all, it's kind of a weird hypocritical thing. It's like, come as you are. You got those tracks on your arm, got that crack pipe, lay it down, come as you are. You was out prostituting last night, come as you are, God loves you. Come on in here, pray the prayer, yes. Now that you're here, here's a list to keep up God's love for you. What? You just told me I was a devil, and you said God loves me. Now that I'm in his church, I got to do stuff to keep his love? Don't make much sense to me. I don't know. Anyway, so yes, but we do pray. We do read our Bible. We do things. Why? Because of the revelation that he has bought us with his own blood. He's invited us. The veil was ripped, rent. Yeah, I'm speaking King James, man. Yeah. It was ripped, tore up. He's inviting us into this new covenant to be with the living God. He's saying, "Come to His throne of grace boldly." It's a beautiful thing. And now with that revelation, Wow, why wouldn't we want to do that? Not because we have to, we get to, right? It's a different, so that's what I'm saying. So your disposition as a son and daughter opposed to a church member, it's kind of different. You have to see yourself as a son and daughter of God. But, like I say, so many Christians are empty. They're not satisfied. Okay, no, let me go back. So you're told to get baptized, and then you're probably told to pray. Maybe, I don't know. Then you're told probably to read the Bible. Fast, I don't know if you're told to do that or not. You're for sure told to give. But the main thing is come to church, you know? So, but there's another key essential that we see in the Bible and we see in the first century church beyond those things. And when I say essential, you know what essentials mean. Essential is something that you have to have in order to live. It's essential. It's like, it's a norm. It's like natural, but it's an essential. And what I see in the Word of God that was very much an essential that they did was they shared the faith. It was just normal and natural. If you have met Jesus, if you've had an encounter with the Son of the Living God, there's no way you can keep that in. There's no way. Ain't no way. Now, the way you may perceive how to do ministry might be have messed with you, like you got to stand on the corner and beat up people with a Bible. That ain't what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about your cousin and your friend and your mom, your neighbor. They should see something different. And it's not about being religious. I ain't religious. I feel like I'm a cool dude that loves Jesus. I'm not some born religious person. And hey, I'm just telling you. So, now let's get to the Bible verse of that so people don't get mad at me. They say, well, Chico, you ain't read no Bible. Well, I did read a Bible verse. And I've been talking about the Bible the whole time. I just told you it wasn't going to be an expository teaching. But hey, it's 11:55 too. Okay, so let me round it up. Let me bring it on home. So the young girl asked me that, a legitimate question. Because like I said, the majority of Christians are dissatisfied. That's why the churches are never good enough. The pastors are never good enough. Your focus is never on them, man. You have God. You get to come and congregate with people, and you get to be a participant and give towards that. Okay. So now... Like yesterday, there was the big concert. I don't know about it. It was a big concert. It was on my Facebook all day long, and I saw posters about it. John 3:16 Ministries. It was a big, 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 big concert somewhere close to here with Zach Williams and all those, the headliners. You know what I'm saying? And I saw, everybody going to that, and then you got cool conferences to go to. Why? Why can we do those and everybody's excited to do that? Because so many people feel empty. But I go to church. Yeah. Okay. So, now let's do a little bit of Bible study. Brother Allen can correct me if I get this wrong. ¿Habla español? ¿No? ¿Sí? ¿Sí habla español? ¿Hermano? ¿Sí? ¿O no habla español? ¿Sí? ¿Sí hablas español? Ah, muy bien. Bienvenidos. Yo vivo en la Huasteca Veracruzana. ¿De dónde eres? Ah, muy bien. Bienvenido. Yo, y este, I don't speak Spanish, but yeah. So, I've been with a lot of people from El Salvador recently. It was really cool. But, okay, so James, let's talk about James. James, half-brother of Jesus, safe to say that? Yeah, okay. I don't know why they changed his name to James. His name's Jacob in the Gospels, right? Okay. Probably a little anti-Semitism stuff going on right there. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah. So James. Y'all know him as James. So, he's not an original disciple. Right? Not original apostle. Correct? Didn't really even believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You know, because the brothers and sisters, y'all know the whole thing, right? In the Gospels. But after Jesus died and rose again, all of Jesus' fleshly family was all in. In at some point, he became an apostle. The main apostle in Jerusalem that Paul reported to, or whatever, you know? But he writes us these five, well, it wasn't five chapters. We put them in the chapters. But he writes us this letter. And it's like, they call it like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Very practical stuff, but very spiritual stuff. See, that's one of the problems right now with non-charismatics and charismatics. They think that there's some divide. Like, that's human junk. Calvinism, Arminian stuff, that ain't in the Bible. That's human junk. But we're so divided with all this rhetoric. Where? That's not in the Bible. Baptist, Pentecostal, that's not in the Bible. So what I'm saying is we have fought and divided because of skewed human interpretations. Because in the word, you got this extreme, intelligent, you know, intellect, then spirit. No, the spirit and truth, it says. He says, my Father in heaven is looking for true worshipers that will worship me in spirit and in truth. So, but he says something very, very profound. And so my life has been this, y'all. And I'm just going to be very frank with you. My life has not been this weird, super calling. Somehow, some way, God revealed to me that I'm his son. He revealed to me that he is a perfect father. He has revealed to me that I cannot fail when I serve him. Because it has nothing to do with my performance. It's a disposition as a son. So that sets me free. I can go mess up however I want to, trying to do his will, and I can get killed and die, and I'm still good. And in the meanwhile of that, he'll take all my goofiness and all my weakness, and he will be made strong. Have you ever thought about Paul, powerful man of God, but he never tells you that he was that powerful? Luke, the doctor, tells you that. That was with him the whole time, but he don't tell you that. He says, when I came to you in weakness. You were willing to gouge out your eye and give it to me. He says, I know a man who saw some stuff. He said, I asked three times for God to get this thorn out of my flesh. But he gave me something better instead. Gave me a revelation of his grace. And he says, in my weakness, he's made strong. But we know he raised the dead. We know he preached so long that a young man fell out the window and died, and he raised him from the dead. We know that his handkerchiefs and his little cloths healed people. We know that he threw a snake off into the fire and everybody freaked out, so he's going to die. And he didn't, and the whole village believed. But why don't he talk like that? And James tells us, he says, he's talking to believers. He's not talking about unbelievers. He's talking to believers like you and me, Christians. So you might think that this is a new problem in 2022. No. From day one, the devil has wanted to confuse and put to sleep the church of God. Immediately, the Judaizers wanted to come in, believers, Jesus believers, and wanted to bring religion in. This is a human problem. But James tells us, he says, now they didn't have a Bible at that moment, like we have, 66-book Bible. They had the Old Testament, and then they had the accounts of Jesus, personal accounts, right? But he says, don't deceive yourselves. Now, who would ever do that, Brother Al? That's an interesting concept, ain't it? It's like someone, you know, in their right mind saying, man, I'm fixing to go get high. And I know I'm fixing to be taken advantage of, but I'm all right with it. That's another level of lostness, of misery, of pain. You're just trying to find a temporary out. So many people do it. We all, I mean, it's, and I'm not judging that. Don't hear me wrong. I'm not talking about drug addicts and alcoholics. I think everybody does it. Everybody self-soothes and self-medicates on some level. I don't make those special people. I'm talking about us, flesh. But that's another level of lostness. Man, I know that I am fixing to be deceived, but just to feel a little bit of comfort, bring it on. So many people do that in religion. There's so many people that are in all kinds of worldly religions. If you ask them, are you really that? No, I'm not devout that, but that's my culture. So many people in the Bible Belt do that. But do you believe? Well, it's just what we do. You know, we go to church. But James says, don't deceive yourselves by just coming and hearing only. But be a doer of the word. So I'm telling you right now, in my life, I have seen the most supernatural, amazing things in God just by obeying the most simple things. You know how I went to the mission field? How I left the nations? You know, they make a big romantic story. Go to the mission field. You know how I got that? Because I read a Bible verse that you've read a million times. Go to all the world and make disciples. That's it. No handwriting on the wall, no vision, no dream, just that. Well, wow, how'd you get started? Because I heard a man say one time when he was preaching, God can't steer a parked car. Man, you mean you gave your life and started your trajectory of life through that? Yeah. That's my calling. My calling is I'm a son. And I'm not telling you that don't get fuzzy and confusing at times. When I get ran over by a bus and I don't have any money and my wife almost dies and I have to bury a boy and all the stuff that comes with all that. At the end of it, he's good. But I'm telling you, it's the simple things. We have so overcomplicated this thing. Just be a doer. Come and spend time with him. God reveal to me. And then he'll show you, hey, well, send a message to this person. Help this neighbor. When you go to Walmart, just be, open your eyes. You know? It's I don't know. It's just way more simple. And that's what I'm telling you. If you want to know these truths continually, be a doer of the word. Whatever you got, little or big, give it away. A smile, a hug, a dollar, whatever it is, a word, give it away. Don't wait for Brother Allen to have to create a committee for an outreach to get that started. No, you right now, hey, you want to come to church with me? Hey, how you doing? Just how are you doing? And I know that sounds way too simple, but I'm telling you, if you would take a baby step of faith and just give away whatever you got and be available to God on loving people, the truths of the Word of God will be so concrete in your life that you will stand in the storm. And you will watch And you won't have to worry about your insignificance. You'll see that he's so much greater. That's why he tells us, fix your eyes on the things above. You can't afford to look at you. That's what the devil wants you to do. Focus on you. And that's what world philosophy and all the counselors and psychiatrists tell everybody today. Do you. Do whatever makes you feel good. The worst counselor I could ever know. Because you're not built like that. If you really want to serve you, if you really want to do yourself a good justice in your heart and your soul, love, because you're created this way. Love God and love people. And you will have a supernatural peace. You will love yourself more. But that don't make sense. They'll just abuse me. You'll have the grace to endure it. Because it's in him. Well, I don't want to get, if I keep talking, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Hallelujah. And Ricardo said amen. I want to pray in generally first, and then whatever Brother Allen wants to do after that. Is that good? Hallelujah. Even this concept of prayer, Father, don't let us become just robotic or, come on. Father, you're here. Jesus, you're here. Holy Spirit. Come on, God. Please, right now, give a revelation of who you are and who we are in you. All the mental battles, all the deceptions, all the lies, all the junk that we have believed about you that has not come from you, take it away. I pray right now, somehow, some way, Holy Spirit, your anointing on every soul here to first and foremost put a desire in their heart to come and spend time in communion, in relationship with you, God Almighty. And to have a hunger and a thirst for your word. And to be ignited to just be completely released from their own fears and their own thoughts and their own deceptions. And their own anxieties, and just to go be vulnerable, transparent sons and daughters of God in this lost, dark world. Let them shine bright in Jesus, your name. Their personal struggles right now will be so overshadowed by your goodness that it wouldn't be about them not doing this, that, and the other according to rules, but because they would be so in love with you, they wouldn't even want to do the stuff that are stumbling blocks in their lives. In Jesus, your name, we pray. Do the miraculous among us. All of the gifts of the Spirit that would flow through us, but absolutely with purpose to be a witness of you, Jesus. Hear the cry of the lost members of the families. Hear the cry of the hurt in the body, in the pain of their soul. All areas of their life would be completely healed right now in your name. According to truth. In order to give life to others that are going through the same problems. In Jesus, your holy name. We thank you right now. Somehow, some way, through the members that are here that have been family with all the ones that used to be here, somehow, some way, supernaturally, just let there be a grace. And there be no, nothing negative at all. But they would be so overwhelmed with your love and your joy and your grace that they would be able to give that love and that peace and that joy to others. And they would be able to reach out just to say, I love you. God loves you. We thank you so much. I ask right now that you would do a renewal, a revival with this family, and you would ignite them as even more mature believers, but in childlike faith to go build your kingdom. But first and foremost, they would be anchored in the identity as a family of God. In Jesus, your name. Amen.
Come on, let's all stand up. Yeah, and let's show our appreciation to Chris and what he does and who he is. So we're going to have one thing. You can still give in the box in the back if you want to, or give it to an usher. Not an usher that you trust. Find an usher you trust. And if you'd like to meet Chris, to know him, he'll be here for a second. You got a second? Yeah? He'll be down front, and he'd like to know you. But I'd like you to do something to me. Let's commit this week to do that, to take that step and love somebody this week, however it's going to look when you do it. And let's commit to do that this week. Love someone. Share the gospel with someone this week, and you'll see God will do something in you when you make that step of faith. Amen? So, Father, I just thank you for everything you're doing in Chris's life. Lord, I just ask that you would take that seed, that we would be good ground today, that that seed would become a hundredfold harvest in us. So, God, we just blow life in that, and we just ask for that the rain of the Spirit would fall on that seed inside of our hearts today and tonight. God, that it wouldn't leave our minds this week, that you would grow that you'd make it prosper. We just thank you, King. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Chris. And you're dismissed.